everyone, live with Dr. Carolyn Dean here on AchieveRadio.com. I'm Jenny Sanders, also known as Jenny Almighty, and I will be with you this Monday evening. We're so glad to be with you. August 19th, 2019. Yes, okay. It has been a minute since we've been doing our live show, but we're live today. A little bit rusty, but I'm going to get in there in just a second and really knock it out of the park for you all. But I want to just say welcome back to everybody. We have been on our little summer hiatus that we do take because Dr. Carolyn Dean, being the empress, I think that's even higher than a queen, is an empress of the whole wide world, of all the natural health things that are going on, all the magnesium things that are going on, all the research that's happening, and oh my gosh, you guys, buildings being built and things being going everywhere, and our there's been so much that has been happening. It's just been incredible, and you are such a big part of this happening. And then we have the radio show on Mondays, and we're just so glad to be back on the air with everybody. And we have so much to report, so much to talk about, so much to celebrate. And the thing that we want to celebrate the most, too, is you, because you are the reason we do the things that we do. Dr. Carolyn Dean, being who she is, a doctor, a naturopath, one of the most supreme educators of all, an incredible force for public health, and such an incredible advocate for you. You know, she doesn't have to do this, ladies and gentlemen, honestly, really, seriously. I mean, but she does do it. Now, I'm just not talking about the radio show, but I mean, she is in high demand in so many ways because of her commitment to make sure that every man, woman, and child knows the important urgency of having adequate levels of magnesium in their bodies and all the accompanying things that happen and all the other things that are required as cofactors and what it requires is a lifestyle commitment to take care of your health, because we know that nobody's going to take care of you or love you the way that you do that for you. And she's been doing this for a long, long time, but the way that she's now really scaling the true heights of impacting change in so many different arenas is really phenomenal. She does it with joy. She does it with glee. She does it with great success and high level of integrity. And it's just such a delight to work with her. I know she's happy to be back. And so we're going to bring her back, and we're going to have two great hours with you guys today. So much, again, to talk about. Welcome, welcome, everybody, Dr. Carolyn Dean. So where are they? That would be cool. There they are.
Hey, yes, I will not speak unless the children are there to listen. We have to educate the children about all these things, and we're educating the children today about sugar. And as Melody Rose, who's funneling the questions from the mailbag to us, said a few minutes ago, she said, it looks like folks are scared about reducing sugar. And that's what's coming across. It's like, how do I get rid of my cravings? You know, I know sugar is bad, but I can't seem to stop myself, et cetera, et cetera. You know, can I still eat fruit? And what else, and what else? So it's like the questions we used to get. There's about 100 different names for sugar, and it's the way commercial, the way the industry hides sugar. They'll use all the different names for it, so you won't know that sugar's the first ingredient. And people will say, well, is, you know, malted something or other, is that sugar? And all you have to do these days is Google. Google if you're concerned, because what we have to look at, and we're talking about Ginny's blog post today, the hidden effects of sugar, and that you can find, read along. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but just sort of scan over the hidden effects of sugar. You can read it at drcarolyndeanlive.com. It's right near the top. And Jenny's taken a blog that I wrote not so long ago, and the title is A Sugar-Free Half Century. What would the world be like if we hadn't become so addicted to sugar over the past half century? If allopathic medicine which claims to be scientifically based, had listened to scientists 50 years ago about the dangers of sugar, we could be living in a totally different world. After all, the FDA's given mandate is to ensure the safety of our nation's food supply. And if sugar is not safe, shouldn't the FDA have warned us about that scientific fact, similar to the warnings issued for tobacco and alcohol? Now, of course, we know it took a long time for tobacco to be not even restricted, but for the warning labels to go on tobacco. Alcohol, I don't know if there's any warning labels on that. So what we see is that products that make money and can be taxed, they aren't going to be banned in any way. Continuing the blog, I've heard people say countless times that when their doctor told them to severely cut back on sugar or some other addictive substances, they finally listened. So having doctors pass on this relevant information about the dangers of sugar could have saved lives. There's an article exposing how the sugar industry tried to hide the health effects of its product 50 years ago. And this article talks about a JAMA study, Journal of the American Medical Association study, that showed that sugar was causing heart disease, and it was buried. It was taken care of so that people didn't see the study. Their doctors didn't see the study. Nobody worried about sugar. The sugar industry started blaming fat. And then we got the whole business about avoiding very good healthy foods like butter and eggs because of the fat ban, and avoiding cholesterol, which led to people not having enough good fats, and even running into the low-fat problems of brain atrophies and hormone imbalances, leading to, in men at least, having to take Viagra because they didn't have enough cholesterol to make the hormones that they needed. So it was a real catastrophe. It really has led us to become a nation of people who are incredibly overweight. What's my statistic? 72% of the population is overweight. Almost three-quarters of the population. And still the sugar lobby groups will say that there's no side effects to sugar other than dental cavities. Seriously, that's all they'll admit to. The sugar industry and the soft drink industry have fought a World Health Organization policy that is trying to limit the sugar levels. It's all there in this good article or blog that Ginny has put up at drcarolindeanlive.com. And also what we're doing here and talking about sugar today is kind of launching my sugar book. I was going to call it Death by Sugar, but we don't want to contribute to the starkness and negativity. And so I renamed it Sugar Without the Icing. And the sugar book, Ginny will tell you more about it in a minute where you can pick that up. I don't know if she's already put it on the website. So let me ask Ginny, is it at drcarolindeanlive.com? Sugar.
No, it's not going to be there until after our webinar on Thursday.
Oh. So we're radio show, our lead topic about sugar is to highlight our webinar on Thursday. I think the way it goes with sugar is everybody knows it's not that great, but it's just so addictive. It is very addictive, and we love it, and we want to enjoy it, but we just can't do that. And I'm going to the door. Jimmy's at the door with mail. Hang on.
Well, I will say this while you're doing that, Carolyn, that the thing about sugar is that it is addictive and people know that. But, you know, what I like is to, you know, what we're discovering now is to strike the balance. And the other thing about sugar is that one of the salient points for us on this radio show is highlighting the fact that, you know, Carolyn came out against sugar so many years ago, back in 1991, I think it was, and very long time ago, warning her patients and the public about the dangers of taking too much sugar, being on the television, doing a demonstration of sugar, processed sugar and sodas and pops for children and things like that, and was castigated tremendously by her community. And now fast forward to the point where we're talking about having warning labels put on sugar products because of their destructive death outcomes. And this is what, you know, for me personally, is always important when you're being influenced by the internet and other places where people are trying to figure out where should their health information come from. And if I were getting health information, I would want to be getting it with somebody who had a vision for the big picture and really understood the fundamental workings of the body and knew how the substances that we were consuming were impacting us for the positive and the negative. And this is the total dossier of Dr. Carolyn Dean. And to me, this is why her products can be trusted. Her information is already fully vetted because she has 50 years of proving her thesis over and over again. And so far, nothing that she's ever recommended or challenged people to undertake or consider has been proven biologically and or inaccurate. And so the highlighting of the sugar thing is, yes, it's important people know about. Okay, a lot of people are getting aware of it. But then, again, like Carolyn said, what to do, and also what does that mean about just the overall? Because just as easily as you can start to discern the credibility of, say, you know, physicians who are treating people, when a person says, I took magnesium to my doctor and I took this information and they said it was utter nonsense, I personally would not be choosing to be allowing that doctor to be recommending any kind of a thing for me for my body, because they're not even understanding the very basics of biological action in the body. Shows to me that they, you know, they just can't, they're not up to date. Let's put it that way. It's like picking up a dial phone versus a cell phone. So they're just a dial phone kind of doctor. They're not like leading edge of creation kind of doctor. And Dr. Dean's a leading edge of creation kind of doctor. And I think that's really the value of taking on the topic even one more time. Carolyn, are you good now?
Yes.
I want to say,
awesome.
Ginny, remember, it's the Deanie Petty Show, December 89, she made her sugar warning for Christmas for kids. That's where it started.
1989, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ginny mentioned that a sugar lobby group, when I was spooning out 10 teaspoons of sugar in a can of pop, 27 teaspoons of sugar in a milkshake, and I spooned them out. I packed up these little bowls with sugar. And the kids, it must have been during the final week before Christmas, because the audience was filled with kids and they were all gasping, and the cameras went to the kids gasping about all this sugar. And lo and behold, you know, within the month, I was, I guess I got a letter saying that I'd said, I was trying to sell something on TV. They got that wrong. I was talking about a sugar book that I was writing back in 1989 that I finally finished, you know, yesterday. I just put it away after what happened to me, because the sugar lobby group attacked me. The College of Physicians and Surgeons in Ontario kind of upheld what the sugar lobby group said and admonished me for saying bad things about sugar. So that was a letter of admonishment that went in the physician's register. And then, you know, with days later, I received, I was off. Yeah, it was a week before I was on my way to New York to do an AIDS and chronic fatigue study on a sabbatical, and a doctor and some sort of cop with the College of Physicians and Surgeons came in and took 20 charts after a complaint by a young man who I heard worked in a health food store. He was probably undercover in a health food store. And he complained to the College of Physicians and Surgeons that I had refused to give him a homeopathic remedy for his symptoms of asthma. Now, because it was a plant, he was a spy, they were trying to set me up, he would have turned, if I had given a homeopathic remedy for his so-called asthma, I would have received the letter complaining that I shouldn't have given him the remedy. It was such a blatant setup. It was incredible. And but I was off to New York. I had to pay a lawyer before I left town. Actually, it took a few months. And before I left town, I asked my lawyer, who I'd given $10,000 to find out, well, what's happening with this case. And he said that they had dropped it. And so that was fine. And then...
that was December 1991 when they raided you.
Okay.
The day of your ending your practice in Toronto.
Right.
They came the last day.
So then when I was in New York, years later, I received a notice that they'd had a hearing about my case. I was no longer in Toronto. I was not practicing. I did not even have an Ontario license anymore because I wasn't practicing. And I did have a California license. So they took away a license that didn't exist. And then they went after my California license. So knowing about that, I flew down to California. I got a lawyer and appeared before, you know, I don't know if it was a tribunal or what it was. I can't remember. And they were so appalled at the way the investigation and then the attack on me occurred that they let me keep my California license. And that was kind of unheard of because if one jurisdiction says, well, this is a bad doctor, you know, you better not give her a license or you better take her license away. So the whole thing was an incredible education in how far these lobby groups will go to protect their interests. So that's why you don't have doctors telling you about diet or telling you about nutrients. And it goes to the topic that Ginny mentioned, where do you get good health information? And I'm sure what you've noticed on the internet of late is most of the health websites are actually drug websites. You'll find clues to this. You know, they'll sort of subtly or not so subtly put down natural products and question diet and all the rest of it. And then the other side of it is the commercialization of the whole supplement industry, where you have websites that are selling hundreds of supplements with no regard to how a person implements them. The readout, even for some of the big doctor websites, the printout and readout of all these supplements makes you think that if you don't take it, then you're going to die. So it is very difficult. I started to think about this. Where do you get good health information? When I got an invitation from the Health Freedom Expo that I used to speak at. They haven't been presenting their expos for a couple of years, but they're coming back out, and they said, Health Freedom Expo is a signature event for the health freedom community. We're committed to a serious academic approach to alternative, holistic, and complementary health and how we maintain access to these healing arts. We're anticipating over 1,000 attendees during the two-day event. Now, every time I read statistics like that, it just annoys me so much, because when you look at the number of attendees at doctor conferences, it is shocking. And I found a URL of the top 50 medical meetings in the USA. Now, this is back in 2015, but you can only imagine there's more people going now. So this bar graph goes into the tens of thousands of doctors who are attending this meeting, and I'm trying to pull it up. It was a long while ago that I found it. Yeah, it would be like 25,000 people at one of these top meetings, and then the numbers go down from there. So when you think about, they're trying to sell me something on this site before I can get into these statistics. So 1,000 compared with 25,000. 25,000 doctors going to an orthopedic meeting or a cancer meeting. It's nothing. So these tens of thousands of doctors attending allopathic medical conferences compared to 1,000 who go to a natural health conference. And the list of topics at the at this Health Freedom Expo, it hasn't really changed. The only things they've added is CBD, the cannabis, and the keto diet, but they just keep running around the same problems, relationship between diet and chronic disease. Well, the relationship is that our food has so little nutrients in it, we're going to get sick. So do something about it. And, of course, you know, what, as Jenny said, and we say every week, what we're doing about it is giving you nutrients that are so well absorbed, the body loves so much that it just gets healthy. Another topic, heart health, high blood pressure, and strokes. Okay, well, magnesium. Let's just have the topic say magnesium and go over the 65 medical conditions that can be caused by magnesium deficiency and are mistreated with drugs. Mercury dental fillings and their toxic effects. Absolutely, we know that. And what do we do about mercury and heavy metals? We make sure people are on their REMAG and their Realign, which are natural, gentle detoxifiers. Stem cell therapy is another topic, and that's fairly new. And, of course,
and what do we do about stem cell therapy?
We do RNA reset drops. We do Pico Silver. We do REMAG. We have the trifecta of health for any condition. You just name anything, and we can say yes, or we can support the body. We don't really talk about cancer a lot. I don't want to be dinged as a so-called cancer doctor, because I don't think that's appropriate over the radio or as a company. But when we get questions about cancer, I refer people to our total biology consultant, Dr. David Holt. You do our products, our RNA reset bundle, our Pico Silver, and you talk to Dr. Holt and find out why the conflict that causes cancer and chronic disease, why the conflict has been allowed to kind of invade you. If the brain thinks that there's an irresolvable conflict in your life, then it will start causing physical symptoms as a way of trying to solve the problem. Now, that's it's really kind of a bit convoluted, but it's as simple as, you know, somebody's a pain in your neck, so you have neck pain, or somebody makes your stomach roil, or whatever the word is. Someone makes you sick to your stomach, so you get stomach symptoms. And it's not so much psychiatric or psychological. It's just the way the body's trying to protect you. We have a FAQ about cancer that you can ask support at rnareset.com. You can ask for that. So in terms of the this business about where do you get good health information, yes, I agree with Ginny. We're giving the best health information, true words, common sense words, and the dietary supplements that work to sort out the structure and function of your body, rather than selling you 100 different products just to sell products. We're not a store that sells products. We are trying to educate people about taking responsibility for their own health and using supplements that work. So I have a few blog questions, and then there is that long commentary that we got, Ginny. So anything before I go to just these couple of questions?
Well, I would like to say we are going to take phone calls here in a little bit, but I would like to say, Carolyn, and welcome back again to all our listeners. Here's the thing I've noticed. You know, back in, say, 2008, 2009, 2010, even when I first met you, you were doing the Completement Now series or the formulas where you had weekly health tips or whatever that you were sending out. And at that time, you weren't even as aggressively involved in providing supplements, because there was still some evidence that maybe the food that we had was going to be okay. But fast forward 10 years, and we just have to make it clear to people that one of the reasons we're doing the things that we're doing is we are creating our own food supply through our products.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right?
You're talking about Mighty Mash? Are you talking about Mighty Mash?
No, I'm talking about the fact that the Remag, the Remite, the Restructure, the Realign, you can't get those things in food the way we used to even 10 years ago. So, you know, 10 years ago, you'd be like, okay, well, here's a health series, and I'll give you some tips on things that you can do, neti pot. But now it's accelerated to the point where, let me provide you with all the nutritional requirements that your body needs, because you're not going to be getting them from the food anymore. That ship has sailed, right?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yes, got you. Absolutely. When you read some of these bogus health sites that I mentioned earlier, they'll all say, oh, get your nutrition from food. Even though they have as much information as I do about the decline of the food supply, I mean, they can look at the literature as well as I can. So they're kind of making, just making statements that make you think they're on your side about natural health and everything, but they haven't gotten to the point that we have, where we know the food is not the answer. I remember saying that ship has passed in one of my blogs. So, yes, Jenny's perfectly right. We have the food that you require, including the RNA drops. And allopathic medicine is just out there doing these conferences for doctors so they can get a tax write-off and do their CME credits, which I do every 2 years as well for my California license, just to keep up to date. But all the CME courses do is brainwash them into the new lines of drugs that are on offer. So it's something that we'll always talk about, trying to educate people about their taking responsibility for their own health. And I don't know what else to say. That's what we're doing.
Well, to say we're eating for fun,
And so, you know, whatever food, just don't count. And the other thing I thought was interesting is we were just on the phone with a nutritional researcher today, Carolyn, one of the leading researchers in the world, who reminded me that the biggest source of magnesium for people in their food was wheat. Wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's eating wheat anymore because it's been poisoned with glyphosate. This is an exact corollary of what I'm, you know, what we're talking about. You used to get magnesium from wheat 50 years ago. The wheat supply is totally poisoned with glyphosate, i.e. no more wheat, wheat belly, gluten, digestive problems, etc., i.e. now where's your magnesium going to come from? And you're just not going to be able to eat enough nuts to get magnesium the way your body needs it.
Right, and the whole business about the keto diet, it is crucial that people take their Remag, Remite, and Realign when you're on the keto diet, because you are not getting your vitamins and minerals in a high-fat, high-meat diet with very little vegetables. So it's becoming more and more important. While I was away, I was talking to someone who's on a carnivore diet, and they just eat meat. That's all they do is eat meat.
Mm.
Yeah. And what that does, it's like a diet that we used to institute, and people had a lot of allergies. We would just have them eat lamb. That was the only thing that seemed hypoallergenic. So it was like a restrictive diet to try to clear them up. And, yeah, people will feel better on a meat diet because it doesn't have grains and it doesn't have sugars. Sugar, gluten, and dairy are the three things that are most allergenic. So if you go on a carnivore diet, you're going to feel good for a while, but how long is that going to last? And if you don't have your vitamins and minerals, and I don't know, I haven't really studied the vitamin and mineral content of meat, and if it's not organic and free-range and all the rest of it, I don't know how great that is either. So people are going on these extreme diets thinking that it will shift them, and it does, and save them, and it doesn't. Whereas whatever you do, stay on your Remag, Remite, Realign, Pico Silver, etc. That's all we say. So the questions that came out of the sugar topic, I know sugar is bad, how do I beat the cravings? Well, that it really is with the Remag and the Remite. The Remite has the chromium and various minerals that do help with sugar cravings. The Remag, the same thing. The Realign as well. The B vitamins are important for the nervous system. So that's what you do. You probably go on a sugar fast for a few days, and then what most people say is when they eat something high in sugar after a sugar fast, it's just too sweet. They just can't, you know, they can't cope with it. The next question, how much fruit is too much? Fructose for a morning meal, if the fruit is the only sugar. Typical breakfast, kefir, flax meal, brown rice, 3 tablespoons, an orange and 3 strawberries. A half a nectarine is sometimes substituted. Well, with fructose, because of the yeast detox diet that I've talked about for years, I mainly tell people 1 or 2 pieces of fruit a day. Now, oranges and nectarines, they tend to be, citrus tends to be more allergic than other fruits. The berries seem to be the lowest in sugars, lowest in fructose, apples, especially the more sour apples, pears. So that's 2 fruits a day is what I say to people. Question is, consumption of commercial kombucha just as harmful long-term as soda? Well, you have to look at the label. I love, there's a lot of commercial kombuchas out now, and I do like and love some of them. But you have to look at the sugar content. Some of them do have a few teaspoons of sugar per serving. And what they put on the label is in grams, and people have to get used to translating the grams into teaspoons. Makes more sense. The 4 grams equals a teaspoon. And what I worked out, and I have in the sugar book that you can get on Thursday at the webinar, I've worked out the amount of sugar in the bloodstream. At any one time, there's only 2 teaspoons of sugar in the bloodstream. And that sugar, any extra sugar, is thrown into the cells to be put into the Krebs cycle to make our energy and do all those good things. But if there's an overload of sugar in the bloodstream, it will get into the wrong places. It starts building up as sorbitol, and then it can't get back out of the cells, and it's the cause of peripheral neuropathy, for Pete's sakes. I've got a chapter on peripheral neuropathy in the sugar book that I've only written recently because of a book called Sugar Crush by a podiatrist, a surgical podiatrist, who realized that it was the high sugar in our diets that's causing a lot of this peripheral neuropathy. So, Batu, look at your labels. And if you've ever made kombucha, it requires tea and sugar. And there's probably something else, of course, but there is sugar in the formula, so you are drinking sugar. And you have to figure out what your body's allowance is. I know since I've been taking the products and the RNA drops, which have their own super sugar, which we're going to be studying and researching as time goes on. So here I am producing a super sugar and railing against sugar. But since I've been on my own products, I've been able to take more sugar. And I know my limit when I eat too much sugar, either fruit or dessert, I will get more mucus. And I will also get little tiny baby staphylococcal boils in my nose that are for me an indication of too much sugar, because they'll appear in someone who has yeast overgrowth. So my sugar causes my yeast to jump up, and then the staph boils in my nose are the way of red flagging my body. Okay. Ginny, what should we do now? We have that long commentary. Should we hold that for a little later and check the phones or the chat?
Yes, we're going to take some phone calls here now at 602-666-6027. And, of course, if you're on the phone, we want you to hit *5 on your keypad, which will raise your hand and let us know you've got a question or comment. Before we take phone calls, Carolyn, I just wanted to surprise you with a little special treasure for your day. The entire staff in the warehouse and in customer service is committed to supporting your efforts for a sugar-free world, and we are all fasting sugar on Thursday for the webinar launch.
Oh, okay. Oh, awesome. So does that mean I can't have my frozen heavy whipping cream berry dessert?
Well, you're not obligated to be in the fast with us. I'm just telling you what we're all doing. You can make your own choice, but we are reducing our sugar, fasting sugar on Thursday, and we're inviting all of our listeners to do it with us. This Thursday, we're doing our sugar webinar. Carolyn's going to be talking about all kinds of other aspects of sugar, including yeast, but also some of the hidden dangers of sugar that people don't even know about. And we're going to have a special promotion to conclude our little event of on the sale on our products. So that's what's going to be happening this Thursday. We're going to be fasting sugar on Thursday for your celebrating your 30 years of vindication. And if you want to join us, you can.
Thank you. I will join you.
Okay. How wonderful. Now, we have a very, very good friend of this radio show on the line with us this evening, Carolyn. You will be so delighted when you hear me say that we're going to go to the phones and we are going to take our next call from area code 919, the great state of North Carolina, our very good friend, Roman. Hello, Roman.
Hey, Dr. Dean.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, Roman. Wow. Yeah, when Ginny said you're going to be surprised, I thought, oh, Roman's back. That's awesome. Hello. Welcome.
Hey, I have a, was going to give you an update. Then I have a kind of a question for you. My heart has been doing really, really incredibly good. Our little one is doing good and everything's going really good. But my question for you tonight is, my father-in-law is really, really concerned. We have not, pursued any vaccines for our child. We're trying to stay vaccine free. And there's been some measles outbreaks, and he said that one of his relatives back in time when he was younger got the measles, and it made him infertile. And he's afraid that us not vaccinating against the measles, that our son could die or could get really, really sick. And I tried, lightly to, tell them about the toxins that are in the vaccines. But I just wanted to get your opinion on it. And my wife is listening. And if you could maybe explain about the toxins in the vaccines and the risks with the vaccines that outweigh the benefit.
Right. Well, how old is your son now, Roman?
He's over a year and a half. He's going to be 2 years old in November.
And is he going to daycare, or is he going to any group school situation?
No, ma'am. He's not in daycare. He's just at home with us.
Yeah.
We looked at a religious, North Carolina has religious exemptions. So, when he does start school or whatever, we were possibly thinking about doing that.
Right. Well, what I used to do in my practice, and I can say it and not be attacked anymore, but I used to give homeopathic vaccinations, which was just little pills that had the various viruses in very dilute form. Now, I don't know if that is, there's a homeopath that you can search out who could give you that information, but look into homeopathy. And then the thing is that infections in childhood confer a lifelong immunity on the child. So we've disrupted all that because nobody gets these illnesses anymore. And in fact, the outbreaks that occur in communities are usually kids who've been vaccinated. And it's very difficult. It becomes very emotional, the question about vaccination. So what I tell people is to look at homeopathy, look at our kit. I don't know, Roman, if you know, we have a homeopathic kit on the website so that anytime a child gets sick, you give them the appropriate remedy and then they get over it and they don't end up going to a doctor's office or a hospital, which is where they can get an infection. And then what I used to do is that whenever a child was going to be exposed to all kinds of other children or traveling, I would say the polio vaccination is probably important. And if they're running around without their shoes on, the tetanus vaccine is probably important. But if you ever do vaccinate, what you do is make sure the doctor uses a single-dose vial. Those single-dose vials don't have mercury in them. They still may have aluminum, but they're a lot less toxic than the ones where there's a 30 milliliter vial and they have 30 doses in it. And the other thing is, if a child has developed their own immunity in the first few years of life, then, you know, by age 3 or so, they usually can withstand, you know, one or two vaccinations if they have to get them. But this business of giving them dozens of vaccines, even at birth, children are given vaccines. That's where the problem lies. Look into the work of Sherry Henpenny. She's a medical doctor who writes about vaccinations. And it's just you have to get both sides of the coin, understand why the medical community is willing to kind of put up with the side effects that can occur with vaccinations for what they consider herd immunity. So, I mean, those are the words I have about vaccinations. Okay?
Okay, I got you, Dr. Dean, and I appreciate that. And the other thing, right. My wife suffers from migraines, and I was telling her that magnesium is good for migraines.
Oh, yeah.
And all the time
we get that feedback, and the Remag especially. And if you don't like the taste of Remag, you just put the Remag lotion all over your body. You do not have to have migraines.
Okay. Everything else has been going really well with us. My, I hardly ever get AFib now. What I actually did, Dr. Dean, to help is I increased my potassium intake. Now that I've got magnesium, I needed more potassium, so when I up my diet to try to get about 4,000 milligrams or so a day, and when I did that, I really started absorbing potassium, and the AFib and the PVCs and other stuff really started going away a lot more. So I have been doing remarkably well.
Right. Yeah, I appreciate that, Roman. You know, we try to tell people to make their potassium broth and all because the supplements on the market are only 99 milligrams. And, you know, the daily requirement for potassium is 3,000. So it's a conundrum, and we're working on it. So I appreciate you saying that.
Yes, ma'am, but I really appreciate your show and appreciate your advice, and thank you for helping us with that, and God bless you guys, and thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you, Roman. God bless to you and your wife and your son.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Dean.
Oh, isn't that sweet? We absolutely love Roman.
I know. He's been with us for a long time, and every, 6-12 months comes in with his report. But, yeah, that is important about the potassium, and it is a tough one because it's difficult to get enough. And, you know, I was thinking, Ginny, about the keto diet, how people are avoiding carbs, they're not getting the vegetable carbs with all the potassium that they require. So that's another problem we're going to have to look into.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, it's interesting when you read about the potassium thing with the FDA, why they limited it was because people were getting problems in their bowels. They were taking way too much. You know, they were trying to get the entire RDA out of pills. It was not appropriate. And there is a little bit of potassium in almost every food. It's incredible how well distributed potassium is in food sources. But these kind of extreme diets that people are doing, like, for example, carnivore, how the heck's a person going to get 4,700 milligrams in a potassium out of a carnivore diet? You know, that would just be super challenging. I don't even know if it would be possible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm looking at potassium in meat.
Hey, Carolyn, what I like is that you point out that people on these different diets will get a beneficial effect probably for a short duration.
Right.
That's what fools people.
It does, yeah. Because, when you limit the foods that you may be reacting to, then you stop reacting. 3 ounces of the meat has 358 milligrams. So in order to get the 3,000, you're going to have to eat 30 ounces of meat a day.
Wow.
Try that.
Yeah. Yikes. Okay.
Hey, Ginny. Oh. Ginny, Bob. What was funny is Carolyn, to me, sounds a little rusty today.
Yeah.
Because she suppressed this kind of information for 2 weeks when we were out in Nova Scotia, because there was many people with problems. And she was there trying to have a break from it. So she would not really talk about what she knew. And hopefully these people will look into it and find their way here. But Carolyn had to suppress all kinds of information on this trip. So she's overcoming this repression she's had for 2 weeks.
She's
getting loosened up again.
Yeah, I'm stumbling over my words, trying to find the right words, trying not to be too bombastic or just bombastic enough. It's tough.
Well, you're the bomb.com is what you are. Forget the bombastic part. You're the bomb.com, Carolyn Dean. That's what I say about you. All right. Well, listen, let's go on to some of what, Carolyn?
I'm laughing. I'm looking up the bomb.com. It's for sale as a URL for $2,000.
Oh, God. How funny. We should buy it and redirect everybody to your picture, whoever looks up bomb.com, because that's a common thing that the kids say. You're the bomb.com. That's in a lot of rap songs and stuff.
Okay.
Let's take some more phone calls, or shall we chitty chat with the chat folks? Which would you prefer to do?
Let's get some chats in, because we only have a few minutes and they can go fast.
Okay, very good. One chat from earlier conversation talking about specialized diets and the nutritional values and things like that. Somebody typed in, how about the Nutrisystem diet?
I don't know the Nutrisystem diet. I really don't.
It's like a Jenny Craig or, something pre-made foods that have been measured out specifically for certain caloric content and certain nutritional values, I think is probably what they're after, but you're not aware. Okay, perfect.
If it's all been cooked and processed, then it's got zilch. And it's got very little even before it's cooked and processed. So, you absolutely, if you're going to do a Nutrisystem, which I would never do it. It's just it's so empty. But if you do something like that, then you really do need the nutrients. You do need our complement formulas.
We did a great webinar last year. I'm going to post it up right now on the chat line for everybody. And it was Reset Your Ideal Weight. And it's a phenomenal program. We've had a lot of people write in their testimonials about how successful they were in doing this program. So I would encourage you, Shaw, maybe to think about doing that. Now, we're coming up to the top of the hour. So what we're going to do is take a little break, take a little hit of our Remag Remite water with our sea salted water and all our other minerals in it. And then we'll be back in 2 minutes with Dr. Carolyn Dean for the next hour of the show.
We'll be back with Hour 2 of Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean, along with host Ginny Gunther, after this brief station break. You can also get updates and resources online by visiting drcarolyndean.com. Psychic radio, holistic radio, spiritual radio. This is AchieveRadio.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/AchieveRadio.
Superhuman discarded the thing.
Here we go now. Go to the Here we go now. The wellness seat with Dr. T.
Welcome back, everybody. Hour 2, live with Dr. Carolyn Dean here on AchieveRadio.com, Monday, August 19, 2019. Another fantastic night to all hang out together. Thank you for everybody who also downloads the show through our radio website, drcarolyndeanlive.com, or is subscribed to this show, which becomes a podcast on iTunes. Some people listen through YouTube. Any way you get it, whenever you get it, you're going to be happy that you get it, because this is the real deal right here with our very own Dr. Carolyn Dean. Now, we're going to start taking phone calls in the next few minutes here at 602-666-6027. You're going to want to hit star 5 on your keypad to let me know you're on the phone. We've got a couple callers waiting. I see who you are. We want to clean up one or two things on the chat line, and then we will press forward with our important agenda this evening. So, Carolyn, here's a question that came in from Aaron. And, again, this was related to diets and fasting and these kinds of things. And one of the things he typed in was he said, I think I've read and listened to most everything Dr. Dean has said about fasting. I've yet to hear of, quote, dry, hard, unquote, dry, hard fasting, where you deplete all consumption and water contact. I've seen it allegedly clear up skin issues, perhaps just knocking out the sugar, does it? Knowing what I know now about yeast overgrowth leads me to ask, could the hard, dry, hard fasting work for yeast overgrowth?
Well, I wouldn't do it. I mean, it's just too shocking for the system. The body would think you're starving and throw out all kinds of immune boosters to try to protect you from starving, which could heal up skin conditions. So I wouldn't recommend it. I mean, we can live eternally, so why rush things? So I would never tell someone to do dry, hard fasting without water, without anything. No, that's the only reason I
I agree to intermittent fasting and keto diet is because I tell people to take all our completement formulas except Restructure. So these extreme things, Bob reinforced it, I said it earlier, they will work for short term, but I guess, Aaron, that the people that we attract in our company and our customers, they're not well people. They're on medications. They've got a number of illnesses. They've been through the mill. And we don't force anything fanatic or strict on our customers. We want people to go through their yeast detox without having a Herxheimer's, for example. And the Pico Silver has been helping that to a great extent. So there.
Very good. Amy typed in and said, the retirement community I work in is so compelled to praise sugar from what I think is the fear of taking it away because there may be, and I say with humor, a mild rebellion like you're taking a lollipop away from a child. It could truly make a difference. In the well-being of this wonderful community. Thank you. As I go to work knowing the true gifts of life, I watch so many who are just trying to still live.
Let's
see.
When I was a kid, we might have gotten a dessert once a week. Seriously. I started my own paper route so I can get money so I could have sweets all the time. I was addicted early. That's what drove me to become a capitalist, Jenny, is sugar. So, yeah, I know what you're saying, but, yeah, it's really, and that's where, you know, we're doing the sugar webinar. We're focusing on it here. I've written the sugar book to try to intellectually educate people about the dangers of sugar, to encourage them to do the experiment, to fast for the day, sugar fast for a few days, and see how much better you feel. You do not know how much better you're going to feel until you try.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Whole new world. Okay, now let's see. And it was cute, too, because when I mentioned the sugar fast for everybody on the staff in the warehouse, I just said, you know, do you guys want to do this? And everybody's like, yeah. But a lot of people on our staff are already sugar-free. Melody Rose is, Doug in customer services, Jennifer who works in our warehouse. A lot of people are already sugar-free. They've taken heed. They've heard the warning. They have made the adjustments, and they're already living, you know, very vibrant, healthy lives without having a lot of sugar. So I cannot claim that about myself, but I will do the fast. Okay, now let's see. What does Tracy here says, and then we'll take some phone calls. Hi, Dr. Dean. I've been giving my six-year-old son, who had tonsils and adenoids removed in May, Remag for 3 weeks. I started at a quarter teaspoon twice a day for the first 2 weeks, and now I'm doing a half a teaspoon twice a day. Since starting this, he seems to be so emotional, crying at a drop of a hat. He's always been sensitive, but it seems to be exemplified in the last few weeks. Do you think there is any correlation?
That's unusual, but it may indicate that he needs B vitamins. Sometimes when you take a nutrient like well-absorbed Remag, it can open up the need for other nutrients. But I would go back to a quarter teaspoon twice a day, not the half, and look at our Realign. With that, it's a capsule. I don't know if he'd swallow it. I would see about putting a quarter to a half a capsule in his food and see how that goes. But that's very unusual to have that symptom. I've never heard of it. Have you, Jenny?
No, I have not heard of it. But the definitely the child's dose for under 12 is half the adult dose, which is just a teaspoon. So half a teaspoon is a full child's dose.
Yeah, quarter teaspoon twice a day. And really, I mean, if it's so unusual to have that, I would really find out if there's something stressful in his life. It, you know, that's
a red flag, something like that.
Yeah, because
really
magnesium is a calming agent. You know, they call it natural calm.
Yeah.
So if you can do the Realign, that would be great. Realign and applesauce is great.
Okay.
Yep. You can get sugar-free applesauce, just so we all know. Okay. Let's take some phone calls, and then we'll come back to the chat here in just a few minutes. But our callers have been waiting patiently. Let's go out to the great state of Connecticut, area code 860-860. You're on the line with Dr. Carolyn Dean. If you could give us your name and then state your question or comment.
Is that me?
That is you.
Oh, good. Okay. This is Linda McPherson. And I haven't been on your show for maybe a couple of years because I've been so healthy. And I'm doing Remag, Remite, Picosilver, Realign, and I've been really, really healthy. But I'm calling tonight because I've been having some very strange experiences for the last 2 weeks, and for the life of me, I don't really understand what's happening. I ate with my children at a restaurant and came home, and after that meal, I had such a bout of diarrhea, and I thought, well, maybe there was something in the food. I really didn't quite understand, but for the next couple of days, after anything that I ate, I had diarrhea. And so, and I've been doing a keto diet with some intermittent fasting. And so I thought, okay, I'll just increase the time between eating and see if that helps, or maybe my body's really stressed. And that, it decreased for a few days. Well, then I thought, I think I'm getting better. And I went out with my children again and didn't eat the same thing, but I ate something I wouldn't normally eat. It was a whole mixed array of vegetables in a delicious sauce. And I had the same reaction. And over the following week, it hasn't disappeared. So I thought, okay, I'll fast for a couple of days. And so I did that. And I thought, good, I think it's really dried up. And then I was remembering, Dr. Dean, that you had said at some point that one of the things that you didn't like about the keto diet was that you really needed to take Remag while you were taking it. So I thought, well, while I'm fasting, I will take the Remag. I had no problems with that. As soon as I started eating, I had diarrhea again. So I was really...
It sounds like some sort of infection, Linda.
But the thing is, I feel so healthy. I don't feel exhausted, tired. I feel good.
Well, that's the thing, right? And you should. And that's the thing with people who are on the formulas. You'll get an incident like you're having, and it'll just give you the one symptom. But if you're dealing with it. You're changing your diet. You're fasting. So it's not like you've had heavy diarrhea for weeks, which could be exhausting and could be removing nutrients. But it does sound to me like some sort of intestinal infection or parasite. So I would think you should go and get a stool test to check that possibility. And then I would look at our yeast book, Reset the Yeast Connection, and think about going on a yeast detox along with the Pico Silver. The Pico Silver is going to help any sort of infection. And also the diatomaceous earth. Diatomaceous earth is what I recommend for parasites, although I don't feel comfortable telling people to treat parasites over on a radio show. That's where you have to get tested for these things. But
that's
what I think is happening. Does that make sense to you, Linda?
Logically, yes, it does. The other little thing that niggled at me on one day when I was doing a partial fast, I had just had a croissant at breakfast time. And in the evening, I took my Remag Remite solution in my tall glass. And after a few sips, I had to run to the bathroom. And then I thought, maybe I have too much magnesium. And so I was really confused. So I didn't take it for a couple of days, thinking, you know, if I'm really saturated and that's the issue, maybe I should avoid it for a couple of days and let my body calm down. Mm-hmm. I did that. And so that brought me to today. And it's still there. So maybe it is a parasite.
Right, yeah, you've done all the things that you can to, if it were just a passing thing, but it may not be. And you just have to get tested. We have to use the medical testing, appropriately. I can't say over the phone what's going on.
I understand.
Yeah.
Right. So, yes. So what's the test that I should ask for?
Well, just tell them that you've had episodes of diarrhea since eating out, and you're afraid you have some sort of intestinal infection, and hopefully they'll ask for a stool sample.
Okay.
Okay?
Yes, thank you.
And like I said, look at the yeast book, do the yeast detox, the Pico Silver and diatomaceous earth. That's what I would do.
All right. I'll do that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sorry you're going through this, but bad things do happen to good people every once in a while, and we learn from them. We learn from these things. Okay.
Right. All right. Thank you, Carolyn.
Thanks, Linda. You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Very good. Excellent. Excellent. So glad that Dr. Dean's there for people. It just warms the cockles of my heart. Okay. Let's go to area code 206, Seattle, Washington. You're on the line with Dr. Carolyn Dean this evening. Beautiful evening. If you could give us your name and then state your question or comment.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My name is Tyler.
Okay, Tyler, what do you got for me?
Okay, so I was just curious for the no yeast, the yeast detox. You say you don't recommend fermented foods, and that seems counterintuitive to me. So I was wondering.
I don't say that.
Okay.
Stop saying I say that.
Well, I read that. Maybe it was an old quote, but I was just, so you don't say that. I'm guessing it's the opposite then?
Well, what happens is everybody's different. I know when I made my first sauerkraut and I ate a lot of it, it gave me a lot of gas. And I just realized that with fermented food, you had to go easy as you're putting good bacteria back into your intestines. So
Right. It's
an individual thing, but it's pretty obvious now that the prebiotics and probiotics in fermented food are what kept people's intestines healthy up until we stopped using them. That's what contributes to our problems.
Right.
But yeah, if you can remember, Tyler, where you've read that, if it's something that we can grab, if it was an old blog that I can fix, I'd appreciate it.
Yeah, I have it. I didn't look. I honestly was shocked because I have your books and I follow what you say more or less. So I was like, it just seemed counterintuitive to me. So I was right. My instincts were right.
Right. Thank you.
I could send you the link if you like. But also, I was curious about you say for detoxing yeast, stay away from dairy, which I understand. But do you is that true? Or would you recommend that also for raw dairy and fermented dairy as well?
It depends. Again, it's so individual. Like I can eat the whole the heavy whipping cream now, and I wasn't really good with dairy before, and I can drink kefir now, and I was just avoiding dairy just because I would say avoid sugar, gluten, and dairy. So after years of doing yeast detox, you have to experiment with how your body feels. And, yeah, maybe people right. are reacting to dairy that's homogenized and pasteurized, whereas the raw dairy is going to be good for them. So, yeah, it's pretty right. hard to give a blanket statement about things anymore. And then especially if people are on our products, you know, they're able right. to metabolize these foods a little more easily.
Right. I totally agree. And I was specifically wondering for, you know, just for getting it under control. But again, it's individual is what you're saying.
Yeah, and you know, if you've looked at my Reset the Yeast Connection book, I say be strict for a few weeks and then start experimenting. You know, do the elimination diet and then start adding foods and see how you react. And that's the key to it, is avoiding something for a few weeks and then having a whole lot of it and see what your body tells you. That's the only way to really figure it out.
Uh-huh. Got it. Totally agree. And I was just curious about what are some natural antifungals you'd recommend, like that are pretty gentle?
Well, that's in the yeast book. I have a list of antifungal foods, garlic and onions, that family. And something like oregano oil, that's promoted a lot, but that's probably the strongest antifungal. It's probably too strong for a lot of people. But it's all in the Reset the Yeast Connection book.
Okay. Perfect. Well, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, take care. Thanks for calling in, Tyler.
And you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, wonderful. Good questions, Tyler. Now, Carolyn, is Pico Silver considered an antifungal too?
Oh, gosh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good, because that's a nice, Pico Silver's just so much fun. It's just so great.
Right.
Yeah, it's got so many
and
good uses.
And, probably the book up on the site right, I don't know if the East book on the site right now has a Pico Silver in it. Do you know? I should check that out, because I've updated all the books for our new products that are coming out, but the new products aren't out yet, so we haven't put the new books up. Let me look. Okay, go ahead, Jenny, while I'm checking out.
Okay, very good.
Go ahead, Jenny.
Okay, so let's see, where are we here with all this? Okay, I think we're good. We're caught up. Amy and Bob are chit-chatting on the chat line. Oh, Bill typed in, what is the better sugar substitute, monk fruit or stevia? Carolyn.
I'd say stevia. I know about monk fruit, but I haven't used it. I have used stevia, so that, I think, is probably the best one.
these days. Yeah, I have silver. Silver is an anti-infective agent, but I don't have it. I don't have Pico Silver in the East book that's up there. Darn. Okay, we'll have to get that up there soon.
Okay, very good.
Have we put some books up there and given the caveat that they do have the new products in it and don't be alarmed?
Well, I think we're revising all the free books, and they do all include
right.
the new products, and we're publishing them all at one time. And the fortunately, the new products that we're speaking about, the Whole C Reset and the Flora Revive, are in production now finally. So they are going to be to us sooner rather than later, and that's all indicated in the margins of the books, so to speak. So we can publish the new books anytime, whenever they're ready.
Okay, so I'll see where the East book is, because that's important. And we're talking about silver being part of the protocol now. Oh, so much to do.
So much to do.
Time to do it in.
Yes. Okay, very good. Now, let me check with you about this. And somebody's asking, what do you think about coconut syrup?
Well, that still is sugar. It still has fructose and glucose in it. It's still sugar.
Right. I think that's the most difficult thing, is people are always trying to negotiate with the challenge of all of it. And that's a good thing. I know people use agave, and then other people say honey and this and that and so on and so forth. But if you're really trying to eliminate sugar and detoxify your body from your sugar addiction, you know, once you get through the first 72 hours, you don't even know what sugar is. Your body just flips over into a ketogenic, more of a ketogenic state, and you don't have the cravings any longer. So it's really key to get through those first 72 hours. And you do that by just eliminating all sugar, period. No substitutes. They even say when you're doing the keto diet, now this is the they, is not Dr. Dean saying this. So this is not Carolyn's words. But it has been reported that even sweetening, you know, agents and things like using stevia and stuff like that do stimulate the pancreas and cause the same sugar reaction as a sugar, because it's the body's gotten used to that. What do you think about that, Carolyn?
Well, it keeps your taste for sugar at the forefront. It makes you want to keep on eating sugars. So I guess that's what they're saying there. You're just teasing yourself with this fake sugar, but it keeps your sugar taste active.
Right. Yeah. Very good. Very good words. It keeps the active taste of sugar in your body. Yep, absolutely. It's better to just try to kill it. Kill it!
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll go on a sugar fast periodically, no sugar for a while, and then usually you just get back to eating a little more and a little more. And when I got into my berries and heavy whipping cream, you know, Jenny, I'd be eating those every day, and I still felt fine. But then there can be a point of overload, so you just have to recognize that point of overload and then pull back. It is a constant ebb and flow. It's like a teeter-totter. So I don't agree that people should be fanatically strict all the time, all day, every day. But you have to know the warning signs of when your body is getting an overload and putting you at risk for whatever, you know, catching a cold or having some sort of ailment, and that's when you decide to be strict again.
Right. Very good.
Hey, Carol.
Very good.
Yeah.
There's somebody's asking a tough question.
I don't want to hear from you, Bob.
Now listen to this.
You pull in.
No, it's not me.
I don't want to hear. Ginny is the person who deals with the chat.
Well, look at Shaw's question.
I don't want to hear it from you, Bob.
Well, you said something, and I'm holding you to it. You said something. Here's what it is, Carol. How do we live?
I asked you not.
You said this. You got to take responsibility for it. How do we live eternally? Is this a literal statement? Okay, then deal with that. You said it.
Bob, I was going to read that.
I didn't say it. You said it about half an hour ago.
Bob, I was going to read that statement at the closing end of the show and give Carolyn an opportunity to comment on it. I did see the question, and she will answer it, okay?
Yeah, well, let's do it now. Is there anything else going on?
Yes, we've got other things that are going on. We've got letters that have got to be read and questions that have come in and things on the chat line. We're not at a pause in the show. I will read it.
She sounded like a pause.
Okay, very good. All right, Carolyn, I want to read this email to you from our good friend Ryan. He said, Ginny, do people tell you they feel like they want to stop taking Remag and Remite over the long term? I've been taking them daily since February 2017. I look and feel younger than I ever have. As you know, I no longer have AFib. I've quit drinking alcohol and almost obsessively hydrate throughout the day, which I know helps me too. I'm 2.5 years later, and I almost feel like time is standing still. I have not aged a bit. Why would I stop taking these products now? Which was kind of a rhetorical question, but I thought that was cute. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't think people have said that. I think we've said enough that the minerals are our food. You even said it today again. So why would we stop eating? And I think the closest people get to that is that they feel they can cut back a bit, and they may cut back to the extent that they start getting symptoms again when they're not getting enough magnesium. So, yeah, it's your food, and you keep eating and drinking your food. That's what it is, your nutrition.
Excellent. That's what it is, your nutrition. Perfect words. Excellent, excellent, excellent. Okay, excellent. And there's a little bit of a chat on the website, too, saying that stevia and monk fruit do not affect the glycemic index. And I think that's one of their claim to fame, Bill, that they don't. But that doesn't mean that they don't affect your constant taste for sugar. I think that's what the point that you were making, Carolyn, right?
Yeah, your taste buds. They can't measure taste buds. That's just something in that your own taste buds tell you.
Right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Yeah. Carolyn, let's dissect that email that we got from our very good customer.
Right. Gentleman says, I've greatly benefited from your REMAG product. Extremely impressed with the quality of Dr. Dean's emails and articles. Started this letter with the intention of asking how to combat the misinformation, ritual, and dogma expressed and believed by the population in regards to healthcare. It's just another religion. People are dying as a result of what I see as a religious belief in the supernatural abilities of doctors and pharmacology. As a retired IT person, I have a lot of experience with logic as well as isolating and repairing problems with technology. When I read Dr. Dean's articles, I can't help but think that her mind must be extremely organized. Her statements are all logical with computer-like perfection. And this leads me to believe what she says, because in my world, logic is king. Now, that's the best compliment that, well, besides Ginny's compliments that I've received. I think that's awesome. Thank you. He goes on, there's nothing logical about the medical pharmacological industries until one considers the massive amount of money being made there. Then suddenly the complete and utter failure of the medical industry to save anyone I've known to have serious illness in my life comes into focus. And the logic becomes apparent. Sickness equals money. And then he goes on about the money and the industry. He's trying to convince a friend with degenerative joint issues, cholesterol and heart issues, to look at nutrition. His doctor told him to consult his pharmacist before taking magnesium supplements. I was shocked at this and also somewhat impressed that the doctor recognized his lack of expertise in magnesium. And then I was shocked because he sent a patient to a person who's essentially an agent of the pharmacology industry and extremely likely to understand the public ignorance of this topic and likely to repeat the party line that supplements can render pharmacology ineffective. Now, this is an interesting point, and I want to stop here because in my experience with patients and customers, pharmacists are really in the front line of seeing their customers, seeing the doctor's patients come in with side effects. These customers will often say to the pharmacist, well, I took this and it made me feel bad. They see and hear about side effects and really listen to patients more than doctors. They haven't prescribed the drug, so they don't feel guilty that they're causing a problem. Doctors who feel guilty about causing side effects with their drugs try to ignore the side effects and deny them. But in my experience, pharmacists may be a better person to tell you about nutrients because they have nutrients in the pharmacies. I don't know. Certainly, they're not going to know what we know about magnesium. But just think about that. Sometimes, if you have drug side effects, talk to your pharmacist. And he asked, why didn't the doctor send my friend to a naturopath, et cetera, et cetera. Well, you know, doctors have had this war with alternative medicine. They aren't going to refer to a naturopath. I mean, they had to be sued decades ago because they were told en masse, the American Medical Association told them not to consort with chiropractors. So they're not going to refer outside their field. And also, I mean, what we're talking about today and about where you get your health information, a lot of naturopaths are only able to survive in their practices by selling products. We've run up against that. When we tell a naturopath or a chiropractor, look, you only have to give your patients these six products, and that probably covers all their needs, and they're trying to run their practice and make money from dozens of supplements. So it's a conflict on many levels. And then he says, I haven't been to a doctor in 20 years because everyone I know who went to one with a serious illness all died under doctor's care. And he's had a history of serious health problems, including scoliosis from being immobilized in an incubator the first year of his life. So then he talks about REMAG as being an immense benefit since I started on it perhaps 6 months ago. I found that each increase in dosage improved something. First, it was my digestion and bowels improving immensely on the first quarter teaspoon. I now trust myself to travel across town without requiring a bathroom. So it sounded like he had some sort of IBS condition that was improved. Next was my memory and cognition. As a computer programmer, I've definitely noticed my decrease in brain power as I got older. I've typically had an excellent retention of articles, but this has been dropping off with age. This seems to be reversing lately. And my wrists and elbows have so much less pain now that when I type, after 50 years of typing software, I have pains in hands, wrists, elbows, and even shoulders when typing. This has all gone away since I reached 1.5 teaspoons. I'm truly amazed I can type again with no pain. I've seen similar improvements in my knees and hips. My back remains the same with frequent back aches. Thus far, I tell him to, he'll probably continue to go up, but more is going to help, and also Remag lotion directly on the area. I wish I could get everyone I know in the world to start taking Remag to see if it helps their symptoms, but most of the people I know are completely indoctrinated into the belief system that doctors and pharmacology are the only path to health and anything else is a scam. And then he said, in fact, everyone I know who trusted a doctor except for Dr. Dean with their life, when their body failed them, died in hospital. An unbelievably bad record. As someone who has been repairing technology since I was about 10 years old with an extremely high success rate, I find that 100% record of failure to be an indicator that the health profession is an utter waste of time and money, and we should tear it down and start again. And then he asked me if I would place a call to his friend and discuss his issues and perhaps help him decide his best course of action. I don't do that. People have to reach out to me. I don't reach out to people. It's got to be their responsibility for them to decide if they want help. And then when we asked him if we could use his letter, he said, of course, and he gave more of his history, how he had reactive airway disease all his life. And that's what responded to the Remag. And I think I'll have to leave the rest of this long email. I might do it another time. So, Ginny, back to you.
Very good. Okay, Amy is writing in. Amy H. is typing in and saying, hi, Dr. Dean. The anion gap, medical normal range is 9 through 13. Mine was 20 this year, and last year it was 14. I take 3 teaspoons of Remag, 1.5 of Remite, Realign, and Picosilver for a year, and I'm on a yeast-free diet. So do you know what the 20, I guess she's asking, what is the 20 is a high score on that test? Do you know what that is, Carolyn? I've never heard of it before.
Yes, I know it. And the definition, as I look it up, it's a measurement of the difference or gap between the negatively charged and positively charged electrons. If the anion gap is either too high or too low, it may be a sign of a disorder. Now, the thing of it is that if they're measuring sheer magnesium to get an anion gap, it's totally bogus. It's not really going to be accurate. But I've never had anyone ask me about their anion gap before, so I haven't really looked into it to understand it. And, you know, I wonder what, does your doctor say anything about it, or this whole business about magnesium? What magnesium are they testing to put in this equation of the negatively charged and positively charged electrons? Magnesium is positively charged, Mg2+. Chloride is negative, Cl-. So I don't know what to say, other than I wouldn't trust an anion gap measurement, except, you know, what are they? What do they think they're
seeing? Right? What are they looking for? Right.
Right.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
If you're starting with bogus results in that you're looking at a sheer magnesium, which is bogus, then, yeah, what are they looking at? Okay, what's next?
Very good. And Mary typed in to ask, Amy typed in and said, it's been extremely hot in my area, 98. To 100 on average. I use 3 to 4 teaspoons a day for years of Remag along with the Relight. I realized that I had to take a teaspoon more of the Relight with the Remag just because of the heat and sweating. That makes total sense, I'm imagining. Very good. Thank you, Amy. Mm-hmm. And Mary typed in, how
and
can you address black...
I would also sea salt in the water, of course. Now, I'm sure someone who's knows about Remag and taking extra Remite will know about the sea salt and extra water because you're sweating more. Okay?
Very good. Excellent. Mary, how can one address lack of circulation, varicose veins, and such?
How can one address lack of circulation?
Lack of circulation, varicose veins, and such.
And such. Oh. Look up, get my free Future Health Now encyclopedia and look up varicose veins. And look up edema for the lack of circulation. I mean, lack of circulation is often just not exercising enough to keep your lymphatic system flowing properly and pulling the liquids from the ankles. And it could be related as well if there's an edema related to lack of circulation, not enough sea-salted water and minerals. When the minerals properly get into the cells, they pull fluid after them, and they keep the excess fluid out of the ankles, and that improves the circulation. We have a lot of people who say when they're on the products properly that their edema goes away and their circulation improves, and they can get in their in the shoes they used to wear decades ago.
Very good. Excellent. 602-666-6027 is the phone number for our call tonight. If you are interested in talking with Dr. Dean, I don't have any waving hands on the board right now. And I see some new callers. So if you did call in tonight to talk to Dr. Dean, you've got to hit star 5 on your keypad. Star 5 will raise your hand in the studio and let us know you have a question or comment. And we will put you on the line with Dr. Dean. And you can speak with her this evening before we wrap up our show. So then to come full circle, Carolyn, to the question that Shaw did ask earlier, she asked, what about eternal life? And Bob read the question to you a little earlier. How do we live eternally? Is this a literal statement? Can you please expound?
I don't want to expound too much because it's not a scientific statement, and I'm trying to keep this show kind of on track. I did throw that out because we do say it every once in a while that our RNA drops do, our RNA reset drops do afford us a certain life force that makes us feel that we are eternal, that every year we drop back a few years in age. So one of our, who was it who said, I'm standing still. I haven't changed in 2.5 years. I'm getting younger. That's what we feel. And it is the message of the Bible to live eternally. And if you want more on that, look at our webinar, the RNA Reset Drops webinar, where we talk about the effects of one of the byproducts of our RNA reset drops in growing crops that are bountifully alive because of the RNA drops. Do you want to say more about that, Ginny?
Very good. No, I think that's perfect. I think that's your words were perfect. Absolutely wonderful. Yep, very good.
Okay, you finish with Shaw then.
Okay, we've got calls and other things to go over. What Shaw did also ask was about the drinking the half the body weight in water, and I said, yes, that's the rule. So if you weigh 250 pounds, you drink 125 ounces in water. And she said, it's very hard for me to drink that much water. I sometimes think I'm going to burst and never stop, go to the bathroom. I'm also not sure about the Himalayan salt. My heart palpitations have started, and I'm wondering if it was the salt or what else it could be. Carolyn, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, call into customer service. I don't know anything about your intake of anything, so it's not something I want to address on the phone without proper background.
Very Very good. Okay. Support at rnareset.com. Shaw's the way to go. Okay, excellent. Let's take some phone calls. We'll go out to area code 541. 541, you're on the line tonight with Dr. Dean. If you could give us your name and then state your question or comment.
Hi, my name's Carol, and I'm calling for a very tall guy athlete. He's actually a famous action star, and he's having problems with thyroid and heart. And I don't have the details, so I'll be calling in to get place an order for him, too. But I wondered if you could address that. I live in a senior center, too, and a lot of people have thyroid and heart conditions.
Right, right. Well, Carol, it's very common. It's almost epidemic, a hypothyroidism and certainly heart symptoms. And we focus on those, too, a lot with our booklets. We have one on atrial fibrillation that relates to all aspects of the heart, and we have a booklet on Reset the Thyroid Connection. Is that what it's called, Ginny?
Yep, that's exactly right.
Thyroid Connection? Right.
Perfect.
The products that we work with are, for both the heart and the thyroid, is REMAG, our stabilized ionic magnesium. With the thyroid, after I made the REMAG and it was working so well for my own heart symptoms, I had the chemist make a multiple mineral called REMITE. And when I was researching what to put in, I found that there are 9 minerals that support the thyroid hormone production. And when I had that made, when I started using it to test it, it wasn't 6 or 8 weeks until I realized I no longer needed my armor thyroid because I was making my own thyroid hormones. So those are the resources that you can look at. The booklets are a free download at drcarolindeanlive.com. And when you look through those booklets, then you or your friend can call into customer service if there are specific questions.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Ginny.
Yeah, Carolyn.
Ginny, I want to at least read out the blogs from the past couple of weeks that we haven't been here. I've been writing these 3,000-word blogs just to really give good, detailed information about what I'm talking about. There's so much to say. So they can be found at, where are they, drcarolindean.com. I forget the date of this one, but it's Complex Metabolic Patients, where I talk about the people who have metabolic syndrome are being put on statin drugs and all kinds of medications at the first indication of heart problems, which makes them worse, actually. A blog, Why I Don't Need to Recommend CoQ10, is very important. Going After the Kids Without Magnesium is another blog. That's where they're finding that kids are becoming diabetic earlier and earlier, and they don't know what to do with them. And I'm saying at least start with magnesium and the B vitamins in Realign, et cetera. Then there's one about marketing migraines. They're using all kinds of new biologic medicines for migraines and not a word about magnesium. Another one called Don't Detox Without Magnesium. Another one, When Magnesium Makes Me Better. And that's kind of a flip side to the blog that I did many years ago called When Magnesium Makes Me Worse. And this one is When Magnesium Makes Me Better. The next one is EPIs Burn Magnesium, But Who Cares? So we know that these proton pump inhibitors for heartburn and GERD and all that, they burn up magnesium, and it's just being ignored. Next one, magnesium and minerals, not surgery for your thyroid. So it's gotten to the point where some doctors are talking about removing your thyroid if you have Hashimoto's thyroiditis, which is just ridiculous. And then the blog that came out just yesterday, magnesium treats the disease of aging. And I get comments like, keep these coming. You offer health hope in every word. And a lot of people have been commenting that they like these longer blogs, really gives them something to bite into. And I no longer get emails that say, well, I'm surprised that you didn't say such and such. And it's like, well, you know, when I used to write 500-word blogs, it was pretty hard to say everything. So now I can say everything. And I know, well, yeah, it's getting late. I don't think we'll take another call. So I want to say this, a great Amazon review for the book, The Magnesium Miracle. Heart palpitations can cause you a lot of anxiety. Not knowing what your heart is doing can be pretty scary, which is why I went online for more information. This led me to three of Dr. Dean's Kindle books. Then I decided to read her major work, The Magnesium Miracle, because it all started to make sense to me, and my supplement use of magnesium seemed to help my heart function properly again. What more proof did I need? Personal experience with magnesium has also made me feel a lot less anxious but want one to take. And then she talked about finally getting REMAG, taking it for over a week, and I can say that it does not have a laxative effect, and she dilutes it, she says. And she's also filling capsules with it. So she ends up, if you're serious about your health, which I'm sure you are, you'll learn many helpful facts in this book. Dr. Dean is a wealth of knowledge. And she goes on for a lot more, many more paragraphs. So that was an awesome review. So back to Ginny. Bob's making motions there. He's not going to break into our conversation ever again. But is Bob highlighting something on the highlighting something on chat that we should look at, Ginny?
Oh, there's a caller there, the bottom, 323.
We don't have time.
Well, maybe. This may be a quick question. You got 4 minutes. 623.
Oh, yeah, there's another review, Amazon review. One guy says, boring about the magnesium miracle. This came right after the review that went on for, you know, three pages, and then this guy says, boring. And a comment after the proton pump inhibitor blog. Bob, mute your phone. I've got feedback. Greetings. There's a line in the blog how you stressed how certain doctors and hospital officials often threaten patients that they may die if they don't take their so-called appropriate medications. I vividly recall about 6 years ago having taken my 89-year-old mother, who was on the famous four meds to treat her heart condition, including a beta blocker. I took her to the emergency room. A doctor in his 40s and a physician assistant with a watermelon-sized chip on his shoulder were the attending medical attendants. He asked about weaning her off her meds. After a pause, the PA positioned his face about a foot from my mother and very strongly, almost yelling, said, she might die if she doesn't take her medication. It's a good thing for him that my mother had extremely bad hearing and didn't hear what he said. Supervising doctor didn't even move from his lounge sitting position next to the bed. I bit my tongue not to start a scene with both these gentlemen's bedside behavior. The experience obviously embedded in my memory to this day. I enjoy the REMAG. Sorry for the novel. Isn't that incredible?
Oh, wow, that is so sweet. We
We get the best emails. People really have a desire to share. You know, we have incredible comments on our Facebook page. And seriously, people have a sincere desire to share. They really would like to intervene and prevent other people from having to go through some of the painful experiences they've had. So thank you for very much for that. Great show. First show out of the gate coming back from your world travels, Carolyn. Always a fountain of information and just a tremendous contribution. Again, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jenny. I'm not going to thank Bob, though. He behaved very badly today.
Yeah, call in Saturday. I'll correct this thing about greed. Why do people use digital black mirrors? Not because of greed, because they're addicted to it. And it's the same applies to drugs. You can't stop it.
Bob show on
Saturday.
Radio.
Bob's show on Saturday night. Very good. Thanks, everybody. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Live with Dr. Carolyn Dean here on AchieveRadio.com. Till next time, so long, and thanks for all the fish.
AchieveRadio.com.
When I was around 10 years old, my father bought a television. And I said, "Dad!"